Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
This hour is brought to you by Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Five on Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grumman bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I got five.
Number one.
Question number one is inspired by Score football analyst and friend of the show, Big Ant Heron. Can you envision the Bears putting together more wins if quarterback Caleb Williams continues having accuracy issues?
I can, because frankly, the defense has played that well. Do I think that forcing four turnovers a game is likely? No. But do I think they're on a roll? Yeah. I don't see it stopping anytime soon. I feel like that's the case. They are, Ray. They are getting their roll on. And that's a very accurate reference because they played the New Orleans Saints, home of the Cash Money crew who created Get Your Roll On. But the real big timers, they were the Bears on Sunday. And that's what happened. I'm so excited that I finally got to use some sort of Cash Money reference for the Saints
bling, bling.
Game. There was you hope that there's some bling bling at the end of this season for somebody. But no, I do think that if Caleb Williams has accuracy issues, that based on what I know Ben Johnson to do, quarterback's best friend is the run game, they can still win. What, did I make you cough, or was it the almonds that you had from the jewel
I got
over
this.
There?
I am talking for Marshall right now. He is still working on that.
You also love the Cash Money crew?
I see your Cash Money and raise you a Missy misdemeanor, because it's time to get your freak on, is what it is.
Oh, dear.
Right? You said get your what on? I say get your freak on.
Well, roll because Cash Money, because New Orleans, because Saints.
Oh, okay. Marshall, you just got really impressed with me just now. I don't know if you're able to talk right now. It's okay. Keep your trap shut for just a second. I
Trap
will talk
music?
About this. Look, you know how worried I am about the sustainability ultimately of we can run, we can play defense, but we're not really sure about the offense and what Caleb Williams is doing and who's going to catch the football and all of that stuff. And we're going to find out real quickly how legitimate the run game is, I believe, if they can continue to sustain this. I do. We just went through the Baltimore defensive numbers, and I know that they're going to be getting better. But I do think that this is another week in which you will be able to successfully run the ball and do some things offensively. It could end up being a shootout if Lamar Jackson does return. So I do think it's sustainable for a few more wins this year, but I don't want to go without a formidable offense for too much longer.
I mean,
we've been going without a formidable offense for years.
Exactly.
I mean, they can get wins. The number of wins is very few.
Yo, are you okay now?
No, I'm not okay, but I'm going to power through anyway. Listen, Caleb Williams has to be accurate. If he doesn't, then Ben Johnson's offense isn't going to work the way that Ben Johnson's offense is designed to work. He's been bad. His passing percentage, that whole 70%, we're a long ways away from that. I believe he's in the third tier of quarterbacks. If you go top 10, next 10, then the third 10, that's where he is right now in completion percentage. He's got to get better. And Ben Johnson's got to make, you know, an environment where it's easier for him to do things, or Caleb's just got to, you know, get better throwing on the run. Because that's what he likes to do.
I think the thing that's going to make everybody feel better is if he just has some more plays in the pocket, too. Just basic, simple. Like, the pass to Roma Dunze later in the game, that was just a very good, solid, like, you're in the pocket, basic read. And there was one to DJ, too, where I believe DJ is running the slant. And I'm like, good. Simple stuff. That just, he made it look really nice.
I would also like Caleb to stop getting balls batted down. He had another one in the game. Was there two of them? I know there was the one in
the... It was every time they tried to set up the screen. The Saints were like, is this a screen? Boom!
Chase Young looked like he was
going to... Is this a screen again? Pat!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Second play of the game.
I thought Chase Young was going to just take off with the ball.
I mean, and that's the concern. Like, Caleb has gotten away with a lot of these balls being batted, save for Max Crosby. But... he has gotten away with a lot of it, and at some point in time, that's going to be turned into a massive play. So, yeah, just stop that. Stop that.
Oh, yeah. It was actually on the drive that made it 20-0. So it was the second quarter. There was like a nice – it was either slant or post. I couldn't see how far DJ Moore was running, and it was like a 26-yard gain. I'm like, that's great. More of that.
Number two.
The Bears' upcoming three opponents are the Ravens, Bengals, and Giants. Can you picture them winning any of these three games?
Yes, I could, because crazy over here, meaning me, crazy about football, was like, I don't know, I think the Bears could beat the Ravens and the Bengals. And then that game Thursday happened where Joe Flacco looked really good, and you were reminded that they have, I don't know, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, and they know how to catch passes. And I was like, maybe that Bengals win was a little too early for me. That's going to be a challenge. Do I still think if Lamar isn't ready to go or isn't 100% or isn't close, I still think the Bears have a very good chance of winning this game, because unfortunately my mean green brother, Zach Warren, the defense is not looking great in Baltimore. So I feel like this is still a great opportunity for the Bears. If they run anywhere close to what they did on Sunday, that's a winnable game.
I'll say this. Ravens, Bengals, Giants. I'm looking at these three games very differently than I did at the start of the year, and for different reasons, because the Giants look more formidable than I had pictured them to be, and the Bengals don't have Joe Burrow, and the Ravens might not have Lamar Jackson. I think, yes, I can picture them winning all three of those games, actually. I could see them winning seven games in a row. I know it's tough to say out loud. Now, if Lamar Jackson plays, it's going to be a lot harder to see them beating the Ravens, unless Caleb Williams has a masterful game. But the question I ask when I look at this is, can Caleb Williams play well enough to beat these teams? Not be a guy who's on a team that beats these teams, but play well enough in the driver's seat. You know, how they always talk on, well, they used to talk on TNT. I guess they still do talk on TNT. Now it's going to be on ESPN, on Inside the NBA, about being a bus driver versus just being a guy who was on the bus. Caleb Williams will have to drive the bus for them to go 3-0 in these games. But I could see a scenario in which Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams get things where they need to be, and they play well enough to win these three games.
I actually will stick with my preseason prediction on what these next three games will entail in terms of winning and losing, and I haven't stuck with everything. Like, as the games have come up, I have changed my predictions from the beginning of the season when the games have come up, but I think the Bears are going to lose to Baltimore, but I do think they win the Cincinnati game, and I think that they win the Giants game. So they will win two out of their next three games. I just think Baltimore, like we said, one of you guys said it earlier, like, Baltimore can't lose this game, and they're better than the 1-6 that they are right now, or 1-5 that they are right now. They've lost four in a row.
Grady says they're losing to the Bears. He just said 1-6.
Your
subconscious is spoken for you.
If you want to attach that to me, I don't have a problem with it, but I guess I did say out loud on this microphone they will lose to Baltimore and then win the next two games.
Number three.
Third question here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. Five on it. Are the Lions trending towards overtaking the top spot in the NFC North?
That laugh, was that necessary?
Vindictive.
What are you talking about?
Is what that was.
No, are you kidding? I love a good evil laugh, Robbie. You do your thing. But trending towards taking.
Wait a minute.
You know what that's not doing? That's not taking the North. That's like feeling better about yourself.
TTN.
But that's still not taking the North, TTN. That would mean that you're not at the top spot in the North. And by you, I mean the Lions. I mean Robbie. So You can slice this any way you would like. And perhaps they are trending toward. But you know what that sounds like to me? Marketing stuff. Like, that's all that marketing speak. You know, like, enter for your chance to win a prize. You're not winning a prize. They just want you to enter. And I feel the same way about this. Trending towards. Packers, thanks to that silly tie, are still at the top of the North. I don't like it either, but these are the facts. So I have to accept that. Do I think that they win the division? Well, I think that lies within one person and one person alone. It's a matter of how mad Micah Parsons wants to be today. So that's kind of how I'm seeing it with the North. Unfortunately, Robbie, I'm sorry. They just are game changers when it's happening.
So I don't believe in the Packers offense. I'm just going to say that out loud before we start this discussion or continue this discussion.
I don't know that they need to have one.
They have a pretty good defense. Micah Parsons is certainly a problem. He might be the biggest problem in the NFL, honestly, as far as an individual defensive player. But all that to say, the Detroit Lions offense looks pretty good. It's humming pretty well. And they got a guy named Aiden Hutchinson who kind of cancels out that game-wrecking ability of Micah Parsons in a way.
Their defense is very good.
Yeah. I think it's underrated because for some reason we don't talk about it like we talk about the offense because the offense is more fun.
It's sexier.
Yeah. Jahmyr Gibbs running down the right sideline last night was very demonstrative to say the least. So
they're
say this.
Plus 64 in point differential, those Lions.
218 yards of totes offense for Gibbsy.
Yeah, that's a good day. I think the Lions are like trending towards overtaking the North. That second Packers-Lions game has all the makings.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
So I'm excited to see
what happens. That's Thanksgiving.
It's on Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah.
Oh.
What? Oh, man. That's actually going to be a good Lions game on Thanksgiving. Well, they played in a good game on Thanksgiving last year.
Yeah, what happened in last year's game?
Oh, man.
It was an entertaining game.
It was entertaining.
That was the day, ladies and gentlemen. Anemic offense in the first half, and then the bleep hit the fan for reals.
Reals. Z.
I am going to pass.
What does that mean? What does that mean, I'm going to pass?
I'm just kidding.
What does that mean in this context?
That doesn't make any sense.
Because we're forced to say it's a no-win situation because I'm either telling you I like the Packers or I like the Lions. No, I do.
The host of the Take the North podcast.
That's right. TTN. By the way, Dan Wiederer will be speaking to somebody from The Athletic on the Baltimore side today. So if you want some intel, check out Weedsy today. Going solo on Take the North. I do think that Detroit is the better. The explosive power of Detroit's offense. And I get it. Like, you're right. Everything you guys are saying about Micah Parsons, he could end up being the MVP if he continues on the road that he got back on.
Now they'll find a way to give it to
some quarterback.
I'm with
you, though. I just said
something.
The Lions are going to overtake the Packers.
I think they will. I think, yeah. And again, that was one of my preseason predictions as well. Not exactly going against the grain, but I'm sticking with Detroit in this division.
Do we do something with Jahmyr Gibbs talking football with you? Like, I feel like we've missed an opportunity there.
Jahmyr Gibbs is the best offensive player in the North. There's no discussion about
Wait,
it.
Interesting. What?
Interesting.
There's Jahmyr Jefferson or Justin Jefferson, and then there's Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah,
like, I think Jahmyr Gibbs is
behind
number one.
Justin Jefferson.
What?
I'm on Ross St. Brown, maybe.
Have you seen Jahmyr Gibbs this
year?
Yeah,
I have. Have you seen Justin
Jefferson?
Justin Jefferson is a Hall of Famer, no doubt.
Jahmyr Gibbs is the best player on the Lions, and the Lions are one of the best teams in the NFL.
Chris Tannehill chimes in from the control room with Micah Parsons? Anyone?
Well,
no,
Adam
he said offensive
Amin,
player.
Adam
he said
Amin
offensive
just got
player.
Here and he's yeah. hanging out.
He quit playing offense. Parsons did. Yeah.
I missed that it was an offensive player.
Yeah, it was offensive player. It's definitely Justin Jefferson.
Wrong.
I'd rather have Justin Jefferson.
It's wrong. Justin Jefferson.
Number four.
The NBA season begins tonight. Which team do you think will win it all?
Marshall. This is your day. Enjoy. This is the day the Lord has made. Marshall, rejoice and
do you
be
feel
glad.
Like this is the day,
baby Jesus.
The Oklahoma City Thunder will win the NBA championship. Period. Did you watch last year? Tyrese Haliburton, by the way, not walking out that tunnel, not running out that tunnel, not crawling out that tunnel. So it's
Teshy Teshy Tesh 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 Tesh.
Yeah. Yes, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder. Please give me another answer. I'd like to hear.
I have another answer. Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's not as no. If you had said OKC Thunder, then...
honest to God, that was what I was going to say as well. And I want them to. They're just an irresistible team. I'm sorry, they're fun to watch. I like the players on their team. I enjoyed watching them last year in the finals. So Layla, can you save the show and give us a different team that will win it all?
Let it be known that I was the one who said they were going to win last year.
Oh no!
Like I'm not helping you any. I think the best contender is probably still Boston, even though Cleveland ended up having such an excellent regular season.
Without Jason Tatum?
Yeah, I mean, I just, that's the issue. The injuries are just so painful, but both literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
But I still think coaching-wise, perhaps, like with, and because so much of what Indiana did relied on Hallie.
I know what this is. Hallie. You watched video of that scrimmage, and you're like, look how good they are.
The coaches? No. But when you just consider the numbers, I think numbers-wise, perhaps. Although, this game tonight, I think, could easily be a preview of the Western Conference Finals in the Thunder and the Rockets.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Spurs and the Warriors.
No. Warriors-Lakers, you mean?
Or Warriors-Lakers.
No, you know what I love about Warriors and Lakers tonight? It's one of the only games in the NBA where you might actually see a fight. Like, those two teams have a propensity to do that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you bring up the Celtics. So you think the Celtics are winning the East?
I think they have. I mean, yeah, it's them and the... I still think it's them and or Cavs, right? Because the Knicks, I don't think, are going to be as good without Tibbs.
Can I give you a sneaky East pick?
You can.
That you might, well, you're probably going to poo-poo, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Sneaky pick.
Oh, no, I think I might actually agree with you.
It's the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. That's
it's Giannis saying, okay, you want me to do it by myself?
Yeah.
I guess I'll do it myself in a very Thanos way at the end of the Avengers. I guess I'll do it myself.
But their defense, though, is a concern.
It's concerning.
Giannis could do that himself as well.
I do like the Miles Turner pickup. I do like that for them.
Yeah.
So I think they could be a team that positions themselves to make a trade to get some defensive help at the deadline. But Giannis keeps them afloat in a very balanced and parity-ridden East.
We're not talking about the Cavs.
No.
Should we?
No.
Really?
I'm good on that.
They had such a good regular season last year.
I'm good on it. Yes. They've had very good regular seasons for several years.
Nobody believed in them ever last year.
I believed in them.
Nobody wanted to believe in them.
I believed in them. I said they would get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I mean, they were.
But I'm not wrong, right? Weren't there a lot of people doubting Cleveland because they're Cleveland? And they're like, how could this team be?
Which was crazy because of the scoring they had. Like, their scoring was so, I think, just overwhelmingly good.
Got to stop people.
That's it. That's it. But they averaged more opponent points or fewer opponent points per game than Milwaukee did. So that it comes down to, the offseason, I think, in the acquisitions. But no, I think the Thunder could repeat easily.
Number five.
Last question here on Five on It. What percentage of the city knows that the Bulls season opener is, in fact, tomorrow?
I'm going to say 15%.
15?
Yeah. Am I going too high? Okay, 10%. You're right.
I'm 30.
Really?
You
think if we walked outside right now and asked 10 people that three of them would know, if I said, when does the Bulls season start, three of them would be able to tell you tomorrow?
Since our studio is by Michigan Avenue, no. Because it's Michigan Avenue, and that's a big tourist area.
I think people are wrapped up in the Bears. They're wrapped up in what just happened with the Cubs. They have not had time to like settle down and be like, oh, this is next. They're just getting used to the Blackhawks playing right now.
But I think it's kind of a pleasant surprise, though, to people when they think about it. And I know like it's easy to be down on the Bulls. They have lost to Miami the last three straight years in the damn play-in. They have been eliminated, but I think the Bulls are starting. What I really want to know, how many Bulls fans know that the Bulls have won five playoff series since the year 1998, the year of everybody leaving the Bulls? Five times. I was having a conversation last night with my good buddy Dan Dorfman. We were talking about, well, you'd be proud, man. We were talking about the Bulls, and we were trying to go through off the top of our heads the years that the Bulls were in the playoffs. And they were 2007, 2011. Obviously, they got there in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavaliers. Going out of order here. 2005, that was Ben Gordon, Lou Alden, Kirk Heinrich. 2013, the year that they beat Brooklyn, and then 2015, Tibbs' last year, they beat who? Milwaukee. Worked through this yesterday with my guy Dorfman.
I just, yeah, if you think it's more than 10%, I have bad news for you.
I do. I think it's more than 10%. It's just
that
like
would know that question.
No, well, that question not that is question. Less.
Yeah.
I know a guy who can weigh in on these things and more.
I think yesterday, by the way, really quick, sorry, Layla, I just totally cut you off a really good thing. I think it was Chuck Swirsky who gave us the bounce yesterday. 70% of the city knew after Chuck was in here yesterday.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about it with another play-by-play man for the Bulls? Adam Amin joins us next. He's in studio. We have so much to discuss with him, and he's here. He's waving. You can wave back at Adam, too. We'll do it next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader. Here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Adam Amin, television voice of the Chicago Bulls.
Giddy for the win! Go! Oh my God! I cannot believe this! Elizabeth! I'm sorry, baby! Impossible!
MLB NFL play-by-play broadcaster for Fox.
Stonehouse with pressure! A block! It's scooped up by the Bears! Back the other way! Jonathan Owens! Touchdown, Chicago! Austin Booker, who made the impact to knock it away from yours again.
Adam Amin on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The man needs no introduction, but he does so much that we have to let you know what all he's doing. Adam Amin, kind enough to join us in studio to celebrate the Bulls' upcoming season starting tomorrow. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score, and it's fun when we get to talk to Adam because we've got like 95 different questions for him during the break. It's Daft Punk. It's talking about the epic ALDS series. It's talking about the Bulls. So we do want to start with the Bulls. Sure. And Adam, how I think we all talked about this. Like, you called the last preseason game for the Bulls. You've been doing basketball. You did baseball or football. You did baseball famously and had a wonderful run with Fox this past season. So how do you switch gears? You know, how do you go from all of these different brain wavelengths, you know, football brain, baseball brain, and now you have to go to basketball brain?
There's always two brains in there. It's a weird setup. No, I first off appreciate that, guys, and you guys were very very kind in your words, so thank you very much. It's very meaningful, I promise you that. It's the same thing that I think you guys have to do it a lot more than I do, right? You got to jump sport to sport to sport way more than I do. I at least get a little bit of time to lock into something or get a few days. Like the flight home from Minneapolis on Sunday, and then the last like day and a half has all been just NBA stuff. Just because I'm fortunate, because this week I have Carolina We just had the Panthers, not this past week, but the week before. So I only have to prep like a little bit for them and then prep the Bills. I got to dedicate more time than usual this week to making sure everything is done with the Bulls stuff. So it's been good to kind of play catch up. Did a lot of the work last week getting ready for that last preseason game. But, I mean, there's still so many questions up in the air that the prep never really stops because now there's updates coming in. Well, now Coby White's going to miss the opener. You know, you're going to have Zach Collins out. So now we're thinking about rotation. So I'm doing a little bit more on Dalen Terry because you get the sense that his minutes are going to have to go up and things like that. So it's a constant movement. I don't think there's ever like a shift fully, just the way you guys have to keep an eye out for six or seven different things on a pretty consistent basis, especially between the three of you who have ranging assignments. It's almost a little bit easier because you get to kind of lock in. I remember Kevin Harlan gave me great advice on an airplane coming back from Louisville one day. And he said, I asked him, like, how do you handle it? Because he goes from Saturday college basketball game to Sunday NFL to Monday night football on the radio to he used to be going to TNT and now he's going to be doing Amazon. So how do you, you know, focus on one thing or another? He goes, try to do as much as you can ahead of time. And then as soon as you get to like a city or like you're getting ready for a game, like in that city, try to really shift everything to that space because you're associating like where you are, like what hotel room you're waking up in, what newspaper is going to be at your, you know, front door at the hotel with the game that you're calling that next time or that night or whatever it may be. So I thought it was a great piece of advice that I still follow.
Serious question. When you're in the other cities, obviously you're going to read the papers there, or you know, obviously you can get online to do that as well. Do you click on sports talk radio? Do you get a little feel for what the people are talking about in the other cities for the respective sports?
I think so, because we'll get a lot of clips, and I've got, you know, there are research people that I'm sure will send you something if you ask for that. But more so, like, I like if we get picked up by a driver, or like if I'm in an Uber or a cab or something like that, I always actually like to ask the driver because they always seem to run into a lot of people. So they probably hear a lot of differing opinions, even if they're not like a sports fan. Most people are in some way associated with a team in that town, especially if it's the NFL, like you're in Philadelphia. If you ask, hey, how are the Birds doing? You're going to get a million different responses from a million different people. So
you won't have to talk the rest of the cast.
And you don't have to, I mean, depending on the city, like you're going to get a very passionate and or reasoned and or intelligent or completely unhinged response. So it's a good barometer for every town that you go to.
You brought that up specifically because I'm so curious. What's the most, because you've been in so many cities during like NFL season and everything else, what's the most passionate fan base, just like in like kind of man on the street, and what's the most dispassionate fan base in terms of like it seemed like people didn't care that much?
I do think Philadelphia has a lot of intensity for it, and again you can speak to this obviously, but like it does feel like everybody has some kind of vested interest, and that's how I feel here too, but not everybody like is sitting around formulating an opinion in Chicago. They just want to see success, and when they're not successful, like it's not that fun to be around sometimes, right? Like you guys walked around on two, you know, losing, I know one was a Monday Night Football game, a losing Tuesday and a losing Monday, and now you've gone through four straight winning Mondays. So like, or I guess another Tuesday with Washington. So you guys get the pulse of this the very next day. And you tell me how much easier it is to walk into the building and people are smiling more often than not, or at least have something to be able to talk to you about that has a positive connotation to it when the Bears win the night before or the day before. It's way easier. And I think Philadelphia, it's a different level of that because they're still upset the next day about something that didn't go right.
In a win, right?
Like, I don't know what you're going to complain. They're probably complaining about Barkley this week, right? Yeah, Sirianni doesn't know how to get the run game going. Like, I don't know if that's true. Jalen Hurts just threw for like 300 yards for the first time in a year and a half. Like, isn't that enough to stem the tide for at least a couple days before you got to play the Giants again? I don't know if that's the case. So I think the passion of that really sticks out. I think, you know, it's very team specific the further west you go. I think that's been the general thought. You go further west, people care about the Dodgers. I was just in Seattle. Like, the passion for the Mariners is very high, but it's that same level of disappointment. At least the Seahawks have a little bit of consistency, so people are really behind that team right now.
Well, you get to talk to Adam Amin, play-by-play man for the Chicago Bulls, as we mentioned. NFL on Fox, Major League Baseball on Fox as well. And it's ahead of the Bulls season starting. we are the ones watching the preseason games. Like, we're that crew as a show. We talk about it. And one of the big observations has been how good Modest Buzelis has been in this preseason. And that only bodes well for him come regular season time. What do you think about how he's shown out so far?
I think, you know, we were doing the Thursday game against the Timberwolves, and Casey Johnson had a great report about how Modest was, like, not pleased with a five-block game he had the game before against Denver. And, that's again, that's a great attitude to have. I think he's convinced himself, or is very good at convincing himself, that, like, hey, this is not good enough. That's not an easy thing for a young person to do. And I understand that that can also be, like, self-defeating at times as well. He doesn't seem like the type of self-defeating. He doesn't seem to have a self-defeatist attitude. For him, it seems like these are motivational tactics that he has taught himself, that have been ingrained in him. Remember, he's got a very deep basketball background going back to his grandfather. Like, there is a lot of basketball in his life, and I know he has observed a lot of different things that maybe your typical 19, 20, 21-year-old, now he's 21, may not have experienced. And they've had to learn it through different means or different resources. Modest has kind of lived it most of his life just based on his upbringing. So I think to have that type of attitude where, hey, this, I know five blocks is great, it's not good enough because of this, or the rotations weren't right, or I could have been better on the ball. Like, there's always something he's focused on improving. And he's not at the point in his life or his career yet to where you can lean on your accomplishments. You have to lean on failures when you're this young. I think a lot of us who found any success whatsoever leaned on a lot of failures in our early, you know, careers, early in the profession, whatever it may be, to motivate ourselves. Part of that is the immigrant shame that my parents bestowed upon me from a very young age. But
I, too, understand that. Yes,
we don't do that here.
I looked right at Layla when I said that. Because
Rahimi and Amin identify, yes.
We don't immigrant shame on this show.
We're in non-STEM jobs, which is a whole separate discussion.
That's a whole separate discussion. Yeah, I think a lot of people, like we use our failures to try to motivate ourselves. And then when you get to a point where confidence comes in, you have a resume or a track record of successes, then you look at the successes and go, all right, what do I glean from this to continue or maintain or sustain whatever it is that I've done? He's still at that point where he lets his failures, or what he perceives as his own failures, motivate him. And I think that's a really rare trait in a modern 21-year-old.
Yeah, the 21-year-old part is heavy on that, because I believe that he has really accepted this process. You talked about the basketball running deep in his family, and I think he understands this is not a one-trick pony thing. This is going to take some time, and he's ready to do every step it takes. And I think with Kobe White being out now, he's going to have to step up. And it looks like, for me anyway, he's got a chance to be the most improved player of the year just because of Kobe maybe not playing for a month at the start of the season.
I mean, the opportunities are going to be there, and he's obviously a kid that has taken a lot of advantage of opportunity. And even the first couple of times, like, he went through the growing pains. I don't know if it's a chicken or the egg situation where it's like, well, the reason he got better in the second half is because he didn't have to go through the hard minutes of getting embarrassed or whatever by, you know, high caliber NBA players the first half. So the credit goes to Billy Donovan. Or is it, man, have they played him earlier? Maybe he would have been, like, you know, a candidate for Rookie of the Year. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't think either one of those things happens without the other. I think this is a very symbiotic relationship. And I think his understanding of that, the way he's at least spoken about that, to your point, Marshall, he has always said, like, no, Billy did the right thing. This is how I want to be coached. This is what he did to motivate me. This is what they showed me. This is what I work on now. When you're grabbing two or three assistant coaches to help you with defensive positioning, that goes a long way, I think, in terms of how people are going to perceive you. So that's already a step in the right direction if most improved is a goal for him. The opportunities to be a great offensive player are going to continue to be there. And then if he continues to improve defensively, then yes, I think most improved towards the end of the year is very much in the conversation if that trajectory continues to grow at the rate that we've seen.
I was actually, we got to take a break here. Is that okay? Sorry, we're not going to start something, but I do want to ask you about Dalen Terry coming, because you mentioned him and that they might need some more minutes from him. So I want to ask you about him. We'll get into some other stuff with Adam Amin here of Fox Sports, of
CHSN,
all the places. Adam Amin is with us here.
Name some letters. We've worked there. Yeah,
also, people want to know where they can hear your DJ sets. Do you have a SoundCloud or an Instagram?
I have a SoundCloud and a YouTube, and yeah, we're playing a set on Halloween after a Bulls game, so that'll be fun too.
There it is. Ooh. All right, so we'll do more of all of that with Adam Amin and ask him about calling one of the best games in recent history in baseball. That is all next on Raheem Harrison-Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader. Here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Listen to Raheem Harrison-Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
3-2. Polanco sends it into right and will send Seattle to the American League Championship Series for the first time in 24 years.
Now that's how you return with Adam Amin. A little Daft Punk, his call, of course, from the epic ALDS with the... I don't even know what to call that game. The marathon yeah. Wrapped in the enigma, the 15-inning wonder. This is Adam Amin, Bulls play-by-play man, NFL and MLB for Fox, and he joins us for a second segment in studio on Raheem Harrison-Grody on 670 The Score. Mark Grody mentioned something to you, and then we took a break. So I turned the floor back over to Mark Grody.
Thank you, Layla. Yeah, I happened to be at the Bulls preseason game this year against Milwaukee, where Dalen Terry, it was hilarious.
Fight night
in a preseason game. It was so funny, the juxtaposition of Dalen Terry walking off the court, pissed off and angry, and then I was near the Bulls bench watching the Bulls players just kind of laughing, because they're all like, this is ridiculous. Like, there's a scuffle in a preseason game, guys are getting ejected, but I do like the Dalen Terry energy. And you mentioned justifiably that he may have to play more minutes because of the injury situation with the Bulls. What does he have to do to make the coaches happy and to get regular playing time, even when it's not because of injuries?
He needs to be the best perimeter defender. He needs to be better than Ayodele Osunmu. He needs to be the best perimeter defender on the floor.
Okay.
And again, will he come in off the bench? More than likely, yes. He'll probably see more minutes against some of the bench guys that you're going to end up running into, but you can't let the bench for the opposition beat your bench. Like, it's just those second quarters and the starts of the fourth, like, those are a key, you know, 18 minutes essentially that you talk about over the course of a game and then over the life of a season, where if you hold off a second unit, you greatly diminish the pressure that you put on your first unit defense, which has not been particularly good for the Bulls outside of Modest Puzelis. Vucevic is not a great defender. Josh Giddey has not been a great defender, although we have seen some improvement and some flashes for him. Patrick Williams has had struggles in that first unit as well, because he often gets matched up with guys that are tougher to deal with. I would also consider some of these bigger lineups that we're probably going to end up seeing with Vucevic and Jalen Smith, so maybe that'll help this unit out. Terry needs to be the best perimeter defender, and if he and Io Dosunmu are a tandem coming in, again, right now probably Dosunmu slotting into that starting lineup, potentially with Trey Jones also. Like, there's options that Billy Donovan has, but whoever he matches up with, if you play Io and Terry together, that needs to be as close. I'm not going to call those two guys lockdown defenders. We're not talking about, like, you know, the elite. Like, it's not Alex Caruso and Lonzo Ball playing out there, but they're good defenders who I think can be really good with the right matchups. So when those two are out there together, that has to be as close to a lockdown unit defensively as you have. Because for whatever reason, like, Terry didn't feel comfortable the last couple of years. He's talked about it. You know, he changed his jersey number, and like, there's a mental focus that has shifted with that, wanting to get back to what he did in college. So I went back and read some interviews with him in college. All he talked about was being like Mikal Bridges or Herb Jones of the Pelicans. You know, these are guys that are meant to be defensive stoppers, and they'll get their offense in open shots that come in transition, corner threes, which is where the younger guys typically feel comfortable shooting anyway, and in transition, dunks, layups, steals, and runouts. That's what you need to focus on, because the offense, you're not going to get plays run for you, as Stacey likes to point out. He's right. You're not going to get plays run for you if you're Dalen Terry. So don't focus on the offense. Focus on the things defensively that will eventually, with good, consistent play, help your offense out.
One more Bulls question for you, just because we're here and the game is tomorrow.
Bulls.
I've been reading that they might play at an even faster pace than what they had last season. Is that even physically possible?
I think the big problem with some of the pacing arguments, the numbers show that they were a high-paced team, but that's also meaning a lot of possessions in a game. That could be a good thing, because you're forcing extra possessions for yourself you're giving extra possessions to yourself by forcing turnovers, so you get more possessions out of the game. You're forcing more missed shots. That's also a good thing. Bulls were not a great rebounding team overall last year, and they were a very poor offensive rebounding team last year. And Donovan has talked a lot about being on the plus side of shot attempts every game, because you're giving up 8 or 9 or 10 extra field goal attempts to an opposition. That could possibly lead to 20 extra points. Now, it's probably going to lead closer to 12 to 16, but those are 12 to 16 points that I don't think this is a team that can afford to give up, right? Because they have to be way more efficient offensively, and they have to be much better defensively to make up for that aggregate. So I think all of those things combine into pacing. I like what they've been doing in terms of just tempoing it, right? So can you push the tempo a little bit? I liked what I saw from Josh Giddey the other night. Grab rebound, throw it to Buzelis, and just go. Make this as easy on yourselves as possible, because it's going to be a struggle at times in half-court defense. So if you can just generate a few extra steals a game and be efficient in transition, which the Bulls, for the most part, have been okay, if not above league average in transition efficiency, if they can get just some easier baskets by doing what you're talking about, Layla, is just keep pushing this tempo that I think the younger legs will help you with, then yes, I think that's going to make things easier. And maybe that's what we perceive, and as I certainly do too, as a higher pace of the game.
I just want your thoughts on the Bears, because we've been sitting here looking at 4-2, and we looked at 4-2 last year, and I understand Ben Johnson's a new head coach, and things seem much better than they were at this time last year, even at 4-2. What do you think about what's going on with the Chicago Bears?
All the numbers are really good so far. You know, they're a top 10 offense, I think, so far.
Yeah, they are.
They're above league average by a couple of points, and scoring across the league is like a point on average better this year than it was last year. And again, that might slow down as we get into the colder months, but offense has been really good so far. So for the Bears to even be in the top 10, top 12 above league average is a really big accomplishment. I don't think we can understate that. That is a big deal for them. Their EPA, their expected points per attempt, very high. It's a pretty high efficiency. It's an above average efficiency in the league. And then you're looking at the best teams are like Detroit and right now Indianapolis. The Cowboys are a really good offense, even though their defense is really, really bad so far. The Bills, the Commanders, and to the Bears' defensive credit, they held the Commanders in check. So there are a lot of good teams up there in terms of offensive efficiency, point expectancy based on a play-by-play basis. So Ben Johnson is winning a lot of the battles. Most of what offensive coordinators or play callers do is a play-by-play battle. I need to win this down based on down and distance and what I think the tendency is going to be. Each coordinator, each play caller is trying to win that particular battle. And for the most part, play to play to play, Ben Johnson is winning that battle.
Well, and now I know because we're running out of time and I want to get to this. The game five of the ALDS between the Tigers and the Mariners, the 15-inning extravaganza, 3-2 ended up being the final. Not only was it great to see how many people were giving your crew, you, AJ Pierzynski, Adam Wainwright, all of the flowers needed that day. It was like, tune in, listen to what Adam is saying, like calling that game, which was an absolute classic, one of the best games in baseball in years. What was it like being a part of it? And what did you think of how many people really appreciated your work? Because it was truly great.
I appreciate you saying that. It was intense. It was as intense of a game or an atmosphere or situation because every inning was another situation, tons of traffic in the extra innings. It was not a boring, you know, I think that 18-inning game that the Mariners and Astros played a couple of years ago, there were some lulls in that game. There were no lulls for 15 innings in this game. So there was an intensity in the booth, not in a over-the-top or angry way. It was just like everybody was dialed in, pitch to pitch to pitch to pitch. And that's the attitude you have to have when you're broadcasting playoff baseball as is because every pitch can be the biggest pitch of that night. So everybody gives space to it, but I think it only increased as the extra innings wore on. Adam and AJ were excellent next to me and they were receptive to me kind of conducting or directing them a little bit like, hey, I'm going to lay out here. The crowd's really going to take over. They have great feel for that. And then, you know, to have the type of game that we did, to have, you know, and again, I appreciate any kind words that have been said. Those guys deserve it. Tom Verducci on the field, our great crew, did a masterful job of handling that night, and it made things a lot easier for anybody who had to really be dialed in pitch to pitch. So it was awesome. It's one of the great moments of my career, great weekends. Mike Tirico called me before game five and said, you have the best job in sports this weekend. You have game five, and then you're calling the Cowboy game on Sunday against the Panthers. There's no person that would rather have, you know, any person in this business would rather have your job than anybody else's this weekend.
Well, we are happy that we get to celebrate it with you, Adam. You guys were awesome.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on the call, and we look forward to another Bulls season with you. We're excited.
Well, I'll get a chance to be back with my guy and our great crew tomorrow night, and already texting Mark and Tamara some graphics that we need to build for tomorrow night. So I know they're jumping on all that. I'm excited to be back, and I'm glad the NBA season is back, man. We appreciate everybody watching.
Well, and we celebrated again with Josh Giddey. We know he's ready to go. We have gotten the word. So Josh Giddey coming up next on Raheem Harris and Grody on the Score.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport? Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.